Shot. No Shot. With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I say
he made my shot. Shot, No Shot, brought to you by the wonderful people at Points Bet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook now open. Download the PointsBet app right now and stop by Hawthorne Racecourse to register your account. Danny, I just got a text from our friend Dan Filato, and he had invited her at WGN to be their celebrity picker, and she wanted a limo. Yeah, he said, oh, my God.
Dan has told me this story before, that I'm not too far off on Sister Jean liking the attention.
She has an agent, he said.
She wanted a little cash for her weekly hits. I wonder if all that cash was going into the charity bucket at the church or not.
What do they call that hoodie at church?
Tzedakah. We call it tzedakah.
Not in Judaism. What do they call that in Catholicism? When you put the money on the plate. What's that called?
An offering.
Yes, is it an offering?
It's an offering, yes.
An offering. Yes. She wanted a little offering, but you're questioning if the offering went to the plate or to her.
Some places called a new roof or a new hubcaps on the Cadillac.
Correct.
Sister Jean! That depends on which church you go to.
It's like the nicest lady in the world.
Sister Jean wanted to take it to Water Tower after her hit on WGN. And that's what I was told. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay. All right.
He's going to come out here and beat the crap out of me.
No. It's fine. Listen.
That was 2 weeks ago.
I can't. No, not even then. No.
It was last week.
You guys will know. You guys will know. believe me. Everything's funny in satire until I go off.
Exactly.
So we'll see.
Exactly.
Danny, man, what's up with you, man?
What up, hoodie? How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. So you lit the menorah again yesterday. Anything particular that happened with the kids and the menorah?
Yesterday was night four.
Correct.
This might have to be a you make the call at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
So we are Jewish. Mm-hmm. My wife is Jewish. I'm Jewish. We raise our kids Jewish.
And your wife
we celebrate.
Converted to
Correct.
Judaism.
You don't have to give that detail.
That's okay.
No, I'm just pulling the curtain back.
But there's no...
My wife's Greek. She lit the menorah yesterday while I was doing the game.
Listen, Hoodie, I'm fearless. He can say that on the radio.
I mean, this is an unnecessary detail.
Right. There's very few of us, but we're fearless on this show.
I understand that. However, I think that's it's a given, right?
Yes, correct. So we're raising our kids Jewish, but we also, because my wife was raised Catholic and Christmas was a big part of their lives, we celebrate Christmas with her family.
Mm-hmm.
So my kids are lucky. They get 8 nights of Hanukkah, and then they actually get to go to cousins' houses and celebrate Christmas and get Christmas gifts.
That's awesome.
Well, this year, my wife has been in charge of the Hanukkah gifts, and she has done a below average job of getting Hanukkah gifts this year.
Uh-oh.
And I said to her, which really pissed her off, I said, are you saving the good gifts to give on Christmas?
The good gifts?
Yes.
Oh.
I said, it seems as if you are saving the better gifts for Christmas, which she didn't take kindly to. But I still really deep down believe that that's the case.
That was kind of a tongue-in-cheek remark, though, right?
I believe it.
Oh.
Obviously, Santa's going to bring them gifts, but mom and dad give them gifts also.
Yeah.
And I feel like the mom and dad gifts on Christmas are going to be better than the mom and dad gifts on Hanukkah.
Well,
she's downplaying the holiday. And her response was, well, there's only one day of Christmas. There's 8 nights of Hanukkah. What do you want us to do?
I thought there's 12 nights of Christmas.
Well, you only get the one day under
don't
the tree.
Because in Hanukkah, you get one gift on day one, two gifts on day two. Like, that's the tradition.
Are you crazy?
What? Yes. But they're all little. It could be little pieces
three,
of candy.
So on eight, no, we don't do that. I've never done that.
I'm not saying everyone does that. I'm saying that in tradition, that's how it goes. Like, you could get a chocolate bar, you could get this, and you could get a big gift. Yeah, but it's usually one or two big gifts.
And on Christmas, you get one big gift, or several gifts, but it's all on the 25th.
All on the one day.
Yes, it's on the 25th.
Okay. All right, gentlemen, so should we get to Shot or No Shot?
Yeah, let's
do it. Well, here's what I think. I think that after this holiday is over, I would like for you to reveal said gift. Could you do that, the 8 days of gifts? Could you talk about that? Not now, but afterwards. And then we could compare what was given for 8 days to what's going to be given on Christmas.
Yeah, like last night, my boys got a bank that when you put the coins in, it counts the money for you. Like, get out of here with that.
Wow, can I get that?
I have one of those. I got one. My kids got one years.
You're 8-5. You can open that up and be, oh my God, I got a bank.
My kids got them from my father-in-law and my late mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Where you put the coins in and a little digital thing goes, oh, there's $1.74 in there now.
That's what it does.
And I said, I want one of those. So they got me one.
Yes.
I still have it. It's filled with pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters.
Man, I got that. My parents got that for me. I was 42 at the time.
Go ahead, Dan.
All right, gentlemen, on to the shot or no shot portion of so shot good. Or no shot. The Cardinals, the Bears' next opponent, have the best record in the NFL. They're 9-2. They're 6-0 on the road, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
The Cardinals' defense has been dominant on the road this year. Their road wins have come by margins of 25 points, 12 points, 17 points, 23 points, 14 points, and 10 points, all double digits. They have not given up more than 20 points in a road game. And they are the third team in league history to win at least their first six road games by 10 points or more. So they're dominating when they're on the road. The defense overall is ranked fifth, fourth in passing defense, third on third down, and fourth in scoring defense. So I ask you guys a simple question. Shot or no shot, boys, the Cardinals pound the Bears on the lakefront by at least 14 points on Sunday.
That's a no shot. They don't like playing in cold weather. They're going to come in here. I think they're going to win the football game. But the line is what now, Danny? 8?
Let me check the latest
believe
one
it's
on FanDuel.
8. The great Mark Potash just sent me the list for picks. I don't have it up. I thought I saw it was 8.
Hold on, Cappy.
And you could ask
and
me.
I would take, FanDuel 7.5.
I just thought because he was the moderator that you would keep your beak out of that portion.
I'm on the show. What
no,
do you mean?
He's the moderator. You're the personality. So that's why I asked the moderator.
But the moderator is not supposed to. He's supposed to ask questions and get out of the way.
And keep his beak out.
All right.
So what does DraftKings have?
8.
8.
Yes.
FanDuel's got 7.5, guys.
Okay. I'll take the 8.
You keep your beak out of FanDuel business.
I'll take the 8. Ooh, take that. I'll take the 8.
I don't believe
I'll
in
bet this, you. This. I'll bet you on the air.
Oh. Sandwich
what do you
bet?
Want to bet?
Sandwich bet, Waddle?
No.
Sandwich bet.
What do you want to bet?
Waddle?
Name it.
Waddle.
I feel good about this. 50?
Waddle?
Done.
7.5.
No.
8.
8. I'm with Hoodie.
It's 8.
You're just a moderator.
I know.
I'm taking the 8.
I am a FanDuel guy. I am FanDuel loyal. You will get 7.5.
No bet then.
All right.
What's wrong with the half? What's wrong with the hook? What's wrong with it?
I want the 8.
You can buy it. If I win, $65. If you win, $50.
You're out of your mind.
All right. Back to shot or no shot.
Yeah, sis, he didn't carry any money. You're not going to get your money, Danny. Don't worry about it.
You ever heard of Venmo?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Dated her in high school. Go ahead.
Wow.
Betty Venmo. Hot legs. Tremendous gams. Go ahead.
As you guys sit back in the day.
Danny.
She's got gams. Oh, God. Bruce, look at those.
Gentlemen, the last time the Chicago Cubs rebuilt from the ground up, it was back in 2012. It took them 4 years, but in the end, they won a World Series. The first piece in that rebuild was a starting pitcher by the name of John Lester.
Ah.
The team took their first step in rebuilding yesterday. They signed free agent pitcher Marcus Stroman, 3 years, $71 million. He was one of the better pitchers available. Gentlemen, shot or no shot, Marcus Stroman will provide to this rebuild what John Lester did to the last.
Stop yourself. No shot.
That's John
a no Lester's
shot.
A Hall of Fame
I'm not
candidate.
Saying equal caliber.
No
but
shot.
But John Lester signified, here's the beginning of the rebuild where we get good. I'm asking you if Stroman signifies the beginning of the rebuild where it's going to be shorter, but we're going to be good now that we signed Marcus.
No That's shot. A no shot. That's a, he won't be around long enough for that. That's the only problem.
He could be. Maybe he is. Maybe he isn't. But when John Lester arrived, it was he arrived, A, he trusted Theo and Jed because he'd been with him in Boston. But B, Bryant, Rizzo, Russell, Schwarber, Starlin Castro at the time. Like, there were all these different dudes here. Like, that signified the rebuild is over and they're back.
That's right. So I would say no shot to that. I don't think he's going to be around long enough to be able to be that Lester. But I know what Danny's saying. You have to have someone, right? Someone's got to start the process. And the hope is that if you're a Cub fan, that Stroman's the Pied Piper to be able to bring more people in, more good players. But, again, there's so many holes on this Cubs team. It's hard to say that Stroman's going to be the impetus to get things going for the Cubs for the long haul. Danny.
Gentlemen, have you been paying attention to Spotify Wraps?
Yes, I have.
It's basically Spotify takes all your data from what you've listened to over the past year and tells you what you listen to most.
Yes.
Podcasts, music, artists. I simply ask you, shot or no shot? Nobody in the world cares!
No, that's a no shot, because if someone sends you, like they sent me 3 or 4 times yesterday, hey, Cap J Hood is in the top 4 of podcasts I listen to, and they send a screenshot, that's awesome. They say Under the Hood Basketball Podcast, they send it to me, we listen to you on Spotify, it's in my top 5. It's cool. So to the individual person that you're sending it to, absolutely. It matters.
But no, Hoodie. You're in the business, and people sending it to you because they listen to you matters. I'm talking about the average guy and gal listening to us right now. I do not care if your top artist is Taylor Swift. Nobody does. Stop tweeting it out. That's my point. I'm not asking. Am I wrong here?
Yes, you are.
JR 100% agrees with me.
Close the app if you don't like to see it. Close it.
It's not the app. People are putting it on Twitter. People are putting it on Facebook. People are putting it on Instagram. Hoodie, I get what you're saying. It's great for what you do because you're in the business. But I guarantee that there are 100 people out there listening to me right now that completely agree with me. They don't want to open Twitter this morning and see that Jimmy from Buffalo Grove, their good buddy, tweeted out that his favorite artist was the Foo Fighters.
Danny, that's why the good Lord gave us thumbs.
Abdallah listened to 52 genres this year.
Okay.
Big frippin' deal.
I guess the point is that that's why the good Lord gave us thumbs. You don't like what you see, you move on to the next thing.
Correct.
You move on. So, no.
So you like it. You're saying, shot, I'm going to text you my rap.
You know what? Because it's you, I don't mind. Yeah, I don't mind. And if someone else says, I listen to Pardon My Take, Cap and J Hood, Under the Hood Basketball Podcast, Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday.
And Armchair Nutrition.
Sure. I got no problem with that.
I can see where if it was somebody popular or famous, if I was interested in maybe an artist's musical taste, but I don't care what you're listening to. I listen to what I like.
I could see someone's rap on social media and be like, okay, well, I don't know that person. It's not for me. That's why you just keep it moving, man.
Correct. And if they bother you too much, mute them.
You don't have to dwell. We don't have to dwell on everything. Someone says, here's my artist that I like. Okay, next.
Great.
We don't do enough next in this country, in this world.
Maybe it gives you an idea. You're like, whoa. That's a great idea. I should listen to that.
Yes.
I don't think so. People think what they like is important to everyone else. It's very narcissistic.
Welcome to the world. Wait, that's you every day on this show.
But you got to separate our jobs from if we were just normal people working in an accounting firm. I get what you're saying about people listening to the Under the Hood podcast.
Oh, no, you're the same off air, Danny.
But my point is, if somebody tweeted to me that they listened to the Armchair Nutritionist, it was the number one downloaded podcast, that would make me feel really good, but that's the business I'm in. But if I was just a dude working at, an accounting firm right now, why do I care what anyone else listened to? Like, I get why Spotify does it. It's great marketing because they're trending today on every social media platform. But I'm wondering, does anybody in the world look at that and really care? Well, boy, that made my day better.
You realize that when you say you don't care, you actually care because you're commenting.
Yeah, because it's pissed me off.
See?
But you know me for 20-something years. It doesn't take much to piss me off.
Andy Dalton is getting the starters reps this week. Is that a problem heading into the Cardinals game? Next.
Go ahead, Danny. Give me another one.
Andy Dalton!
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Getting the starters reps this week. Is that a problem heading into the Cardinals game? Look, Justin Fields has cracked ribs. He was back in a limited role at practice yesterday. He's expected to be at least limited, if not a full participant, today. If he's healthy to the point where the team doctors and the trainers say, Matt, he's good to go. No issues here. Got the Kevlar vest on. He's good. Then play him. But if he's 99%, don't play him. Team's going nowhere. There's going to be massive change coming. Play him if he's ready to go. That's it.
Yeah, Andy Dalton should be the starter if Justin Fields can't play.
Correct.
And Nick Foles, can you imagine? It's December. Nick Foles is still around. Still around, by the way.
Yep.
Nick Foles is still around. Isn't that amazing? I thought that he'd be gone by now, but he's still on the roster, which I find fascinating. And so the whole thing that I look at with Andy Dalton is this, is that Andy Dalton's never been embarrassing as the quarterback. We've had bad quarterbacks here. Andy's just been steady and solid. Remember the Thanksgiving game against the Lions?
Yep.
I mean, listen, I was not knocked out by the amount of points that the Bears scored, but they did win the game.
They did.
They did win
and
the game.
And he threw for 317.
It is, but that's the old Jiggett's line of never confuse activity with accomplishment in that spot, right? 316 yards, he gets the turkey leg at the end of the game. He gets the little award and everything. But still, it's kind of like, hey, you didn't run the football well against the Lions, a team that can't get out of their own way.
They didn't run it enough.
So I get it. Beggars can't be choosers. I just didn't like that the Bears didn't put up more points against the Lions. So that's my whole deal.
So Andy will be very capable. He's a solid guy. He's just not great. But I don't think anyone expected great when they signed him.
No. He was just supposed to be a placeholder.
They didn't have Justin at that time.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I keep going back to and no one can explain to me is, okay, that's what it costs, whatever. Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's been out injured, he got $10 million, whatever. All those same dudes all got the same money. Okay, that's the price of doing business.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Why did you not sign him in 2020 when he was available for $3.5 million? He hadn't been released yet by the Bengals, but you could have, wink, wink, we're going to take him when you draft Joe Burrow. Okay, right. Done deal.
Right.
And he signed with Dallas for $3.5 million. Why was he not good enough for you then? And then he had an okay year in Dallas. He was banged up. He had a concussion. He was out for a while. What did he do in Dallas that you said, I'll pay you more than triple what you got in Dallas?
I don't know.
That's my question.
I don't know the answer to that.
Like, why'd you pivot to him in 21 when you could have had him for a third of the price in 20 and he didn't do anything post 20 that you went, we got to get that guy?
Yeah, I don't know the answer
and
to that.
And your OC
question.
Was his OC in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I have no idea.
That's the question that I have.
Yeah. I don't know. But all I know is that what's happening now, it's not really about this year. It's about next year, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are looking forward to seeing a different head coach and different offensive coordinator in place for the Bears. Probably a whole new coaching staff, the way I look at it. And it's really about the future of Justin Fields more than anything else. Like, Andy Dalton knew he was going to be here for a year.
Yep.
He's just trying to put some good stuff on tape, man.
Will he be the backup next year?
I don't think he needs to be around next year.
Well, who's your backup to Justin?
You figure it out. You can always figure it out in the offseason. It won't be Foles and it won't be Dalton. My focus is Justin Fields, a healthy Fields with a new coaching staff, with a fresh coat of paint, ready for the season. This whole thing with Dalton, we knew when he came here for the one-year deal, just trying to put some good stuff on tape so he can move on to a different team. He knew it. And he knew, I don't think that Dalton thought that he'd be out so quickly. That whole thing was just a mess. Another reason why that the Bears need to make changes is because of how it was just bungled from the beginning. I have, as much as Cutler and Trubisky were ridiculed in the national media, I've never seen what we've seen with the Bears and how they were on television every day, leading off First Take and Get Up and all these shows. This First Things First and all these shows, right? Just clowning the Bears on how they bungled this whole thing and the miscommunication too. Mm-hmm. When it came to Dalton and Fields. I mean, you think Cutler got it like on the late night shows? You think he got it? Not as bad as what the Bears had this year. And that, like, if I'm George McCaskey or if I'm Ted Phillips, I'm embarrassed by that. This whole thing.
The whole thing's a clown show.
It's terrible.
But I could see Andy Dalton back here as the backup next year.
For what?
You got to have a backup. If you feel like your team's going to be decent, you got to have somebody you could plug and play. Who is it?
There's always someone, right? There's always someone.
But I already got someone. Andy Dalton as the backup?
Andy can look at this season and say, look at these numbers. Look what I've done with this ridiculous offense.
Or using your word, this moribund franchise.
Look at this moribund franchise, right? Cap, he can look at the tape and just go, really? I'm a backup? Really? I could start someplace on a bad team.
Where in the league is he starting?
Well, we could take a look here.
I don't see it. I don't see it.
Now, I understand that in the NFL now, it's either a young quarterback that you're trying to mold and shape or an established veteran, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, I could give you, like, Houston, right? Because that Deshaun Watson thing is not going to work itself out. What they have in there is not going to be the future of the team. I could give you Houston for one team. That's one team for sure. I could give you, what's the future of the Saints? Is that Jameis or is that Hill? Or will they be looking for a quarterback next year? That's just another team. Just giving you a couple of teams that...
Yeah, but New Orleans, I think New Orleans is a landing spot for Russell Wilson.
Maybe, but there's always...
A potential.
But when you get to the moving chairs, there's always going to be some team that's going to say, Andy, we need you to be in place. You going to pay a boatload of money to Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, but they're not pivoting Baker Mayfield to Andy Dalton.
Well, say, for instance,
They'll be in the Russell Wilson discussions.
If Baker walks, though, what are you going to do in that spot?
Then you go get Russell Wilson?
Right.
You got to find somebody.
But in the game of musical
Deshaun?
Chairs...
Deshaun?
And it's, well... Hang on, be careful now.
We don't know. He may be in jail. He may be cleared. I don't know.
Just be careful now.
Right.
Just be careful. Even with him being cleared, he's not really cleared in the court of public opinion.
Correct.
Just be careful on that.
Correct.
So I'm just saying, in the game of musical chairs, when it comes to free agency, who knows where he can find a spot, right? I'm just telling you that when I look at this Bears thing, my whole focus is on Justin Fields and his development. It's all I care about. Because the defense is going in the wrong direction. There's some weapons offensively, but it just feels like, I don't know, just like a below average football team, like we saw last year, that found their way into the playoffs.
So, as you look at this whole thing, and we keep, are they going to fire Matt before the season? Like, you can talk to coordinators and assistant coaches week 16 and 17 now, which you couldn't in the past. And the teams that were good were saying, we get screwed. We're trying to win a Super Bowl, and all these other guys on the other teams are getting interviews. Our guys can't. So now they said, okay, week 16, 17, you can go on an interview.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't do that if you've got a coach in place. You can't very well have Matt Nagy preparing the team on the field. Hey, what's going on? Why are the lights on up there in the executive suite? Oh, they've got Byron Leftwich up there.
Oh,
what?
My God. Yeah.
Right. You can't do that. So they'd have to move on. Here's the question. If they fire Matt Nagy week 15 so they could start running in Byron Leftwich and this coordinator and Josh McDaniels, who's doing those interviews if you're firing Ryan Pace?
It's George and Ted.
They're going to truly try and interview head coaches.
George and Ted, yep. And Ryan, if Ryan's still around, of course.
Well, that's my point. If they fire Pace,
yeah.
Like, we could say all we want about Ryan, and I've been clear, I want a new direction.
Mm-hmm.
If you fire him, George and Ted are the two dudes up there interviewing head coaches?
That's correct.
They don't know what to ask him.
And even if they're not part of the interview process, they have to make the final determination. There might be others in that room that we don't know about. Who else is in that hierarchy that are football minds?
Nobody.
Well, exactly.
That's my point.
Wait a minute. There's nobody to talk to? See what I'm saying?
And if they fire Matt... And then it's Ryan doing the interviews. People will lose their mind then.
Right. See?
They're effed.
Do you understand that this is the vicious cycle that we go through every time we go through a coaching change?
Mm-hmm.
Like having someone, you want someone with authority to be able to preside over this. I mean, does George McCaskey and Ted Phillips feel like they're qualified to be able to name the next head coach? No. So, but not the general manager. Who's overseeing the operation? Imagine if we mentioned this name before, like a Gary Fensick, right?
Yep.
What if, and boy, we've been talking about that name for 20 years.
Yeah, he's been out of the loop so long. Trace Armstrong is probably the guy.
But you know what I mean? Like a front-facing former Bear. Smart, front-facing former Bear that understands football.
I love Gary. He's awesome.
No, I use his name as an example, Cap, to just talk about someone that could be able to represent the organization, not just on the football side, but also on the business side. You bring a Fensick to the meetings. Ah, Fensick. Ah, hard-hitting from the 85 Bears. Put it there, right? He's there to seal the deal. You got Sweaty Teddy over there. You got George, but it's nothing like the former Bear. Tell me, spin me a few tales about the old 85 Bears. Well, I remember blah, blah, blah. Now you got the deal sealed for sponsorships, for the stadium. You got all those things because that's the business side, right? But then he's also part of the football side.
Correct.
Because he can look at it and say, you know what? I know it's best for the Bears because I've got the ear to the ground. The fans want to see a new GM, a new head coach, a new direction. I can provide that.
312-332-3776. Bulls got a slap on the wrist yesterday. That's next.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
It's the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show, 7 to 10 on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app with my friend David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood with you. I'd like to remind you, coming up at 9:17, we hear from Dan Wiederer. We get his thoughts about the Bears in an upcoming matchup against the Arizona Cardinals. Also still to come, what I know about college football. There's plenty of college football conversation to be had. So it's a big weekend for college football. We'll talk about it at 9:50 right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. But Adrian Wojnarowski was the first to bring this up from ESPN.com. You go to the NBA section and you type in what it says there. It says Chicago Bulls, Miami Heat to lose next second round draft pick after the NBA investigation. It's the longest investigation since Watergate. But we finally, after 4 months, the NBA has punished the Bulls and the Heat with the loss of second-round draft picks because of the premature discussions into free agency, Lonzo Ball and Kyle Lowry. And again, this ultimately is a slap on the wrist. It's no big deal. I was hoping that it wouldn't be so serious that the Bulls would have to return Lonzo Ball to New Orleans. But the point is, though, is that it's really a slap on the wrist. It's much to do about nothing. But I still like the aggressiveness, Cap, of Karnišovas and Eversley going for it, saying, you know, we might be premature in this spot, but we want to make sure we solidify the lead guard. It's something that you talked about a lot on this show. You said, you know, the Bulls really need a lead guard. They got him in Lonzo Ball.
I remember having this discussion with Pax, and it was a good debate. I said, you guys got to get a point guard. You got no one to organize your offense. Post Derek, and Derek was a very ball dominant point guard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, point guards had the ball in their hands.
Sure.
But he was an attacking, scoring guy. They have not had somebody since, I don't know who, Kirk Heinrich, that you went, yeah, he can make a pat. Pax was a perfect, perfect guy. When he played, I know who I'm supposed to get the ball to.
Yep.
He got everyone organized and then hit a big shot when we need you to hit a big shot. And Pax was perfect at that job. That's why I wanted them to draft Tyrese Halliburton. If you remember in that draft, I was screaming, draft Tyrese Halliburton. And then we got AK on here with you and I, and he said, we like that kid. Their workout with him was sensational till they worked out Patrick Williams, and they went, that could be a grand slam. Let's take the shot.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did. Halliburton had a great rookie year. He's a really good player. But bringing Lonzo Ball in, and he's improved his shot where they can't back off and go, oh, go ahead, shoot. Like, remember Rondo?
Sure.
Everyone would back off and go, okay,
mm-hmm.
good luck to you. And he can't make a jump shot. Lonzo Ball is taking his game to another level than what we saw when he was drafted.
Yeah, the lead guard in that position has changed. When we were growing up, the lead guard, the point guard, they call them lead guards now, would be able to initiate the offense, just get it across the timeline and get the ball rolling. Let's start moving the ball side to side. Let's get the best shot.
Mm-hmm.
Not the most available shot, but the best shot possible in the sequence, right?
Yep.
That's what it came down to. But now when you get these guards here that are where the lead guard or the point guard is 6'5",
mm-hmm.
6'4", right?
Mm-hmm.
And they have the ability to be able to dribble drive and get to the basket on a driving kick. They could be able to knock down threes. The versatile point guard is something big in the game. And I think that Lonzo, for his last year in New Orleans, you start to see the improvement with him being able to shoot the basketball. Remember, he used to have that hitch,
mm-hmm.
an odd hitch. Not like a Cartwright hitch, but he used to have an odd hitch. It has really improved big time for him, from distance.
Because he was willing to remake his shot.
Sure.
A lot of guys are not willing to flush. Everything that got him to that point went, if I want to get to the next level, I got to rebuild my shot.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of these guys have their own shooting coaches.
That's right. That's right. And now you will see a like someone the size of Ben Simmons when he does play, he, as big as he is at 6'7", 6'8".
Yep.
And he could be
He's 6'10".
6'10". The ability to put the ball on the floor, to be able to take it to the basket, and also the wingspan to be able to seal off baselines. I mean, just a multifaceted guard. That's not 6'1", 6'2", anymore, 5'11".
Correct.
Those guys. I mean, it's amazing. That's how the game has changed, man. Size and versatility.
Correct.
It's amazing.
Correct. 312-332-3776. Let's go to the phones. Tom's in Maine and listening to us online. Hey, Tom, what's up, man?
Hey, good morning, boys. How are we doing?
All good, Tom. Thank you.
Awesome. I called because I've been a Marcus Stroman fan for a long time. I do live in Maine, but I am a Northern Illinois native. I grew up in Grays Lake.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been a Cubs fan my whole life. Marcus Stroman is a great dude. I've had the privilege of meeting him on an occasion, and he is friends with a rapper who goes by the name Mike. It used to be Mike Studd.
Mm-hmm.
They pitched together at Duke. Stroman is on a couple songs with Mike Studd. If you look them up, we've got the best, not only can the kid pitch, but we've got the best rapping pitcher in Major League Baseball too.
That's right.
So I just tweeted it at you guys. You can look it up also. It's called These Days Remix, Mike Studd. So if you check that out on Twitter, you'll see our guy doing his thing. It's pretty awesome. I thought you guys would enjoy it.
Appreciate that. We'll look that up.
We looked it up, Cappy. JR and I listened to it. Uh-huh. It would take him the next hour and 18 minutes to beep it out. So check it out yourselves, guys. But we're a clean radio show in that way.
Got it. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Have a good one, guys.
You too. Appreciate you. Yeah, he did tweet it at a bunch of us. So
thank you.
You guys see Marcus Stroman's back tattoos?
No.
I mean, I went to his Twitter page.
Yep.
The first tweet, his pinned tweet says, "Why fit in when you were born to stand out?" This dude, you think you're inked, Cap? You got to check him out. It's like a family portrait on his back. Incredible.
Yeah, I don't have anything on my back.
Not yet.
That will not happen.
What do you mean?
I'm not getting back tattoos.
What's wrong with that?
I'm not saying anything's wrong with it. It's not for me.
Why isn't it for you? I mean, listen, it's about body art, right?
Yeah.
If you got it on your biceps, you might as well just go all the way around. Why not? Put it on the shoulders?
I would do the shoulder. Yeah. I've got some on my shoulder.
I know. How about the right in the middle of the back, though?
No.
How about on the top of the butt? That's always good.
Yeah, no.
What's wrong with that?
I don't need a tramp stamp.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, not interested. Thanks.
No stamp back there?
No.
Get a Cubs logo right there.
Yeah, they've owned you for years.
You're better than that. You're better than that. That's just an awful line.
How about that, Danny? How about that?
Sherlock out on Lakeshore Drive. What's up, Sherlock?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's up?
Sherlock, what's going on, Doctor?
Hey, I haven't called in a long time. Good to hear y'all voices.
Yes, sir.
Hey, me too.
Yes, yes.
Check this out. If we're going to go old school with the Bears, why don't we get two seasoned vets from the Bears, from the Super Bowl team, that were already coached, Leslie Frazier or Mike Singletary? It's not that hard to me.
Yeah, Singletary, I think his time has come and gone. Leslie Frazier, that's an interesting one. He's wearing Buffalo.
Yes.
The D.C.?
Yes. I think that Leslie should get another bite of the apples to be a head coach. He's just had the one time, I believe.
Where was he at, Vikings?
Yep.
Yeah. That one's a good one, Sherlock. He will definitely be on the list of some teams. We appreciate you. Have a great day, okay, man?
Where you been, Sherlock? Call in again.
Yeah. Don't be a stranger.
Okay, for sure.
All right, see ya.
Why don't more people name their kids Sherlock?
He called in
and he said Sherlock. I'm like, that's an awesome name.
That's an awesome name.
I like his name better than his point.
It's his nickname.
That was a really good name. You don't think that's his real name?
No, no.
Why?
Well, come on now. Listen, I know that we're known for the exotic names, but come on, that's pushing it.
I think it's a cool name. I do.
I understand that.
If I have another kid, I'm going to name him Sherlock.
Sherlock Kaplan.
Yeah.
How are you going to spell Sherlock?
S-H-U-R-L-O-C.
I knew it. I knew it. Sherlock. He's a good kid, Sherlock. Of course you would.
Marcus Stroman's always in a good headspace. That's right. If you're waking up this morning, go, why are they talking about Marcus Stroman? The Cubs signed him.
Yes, sir.
3 years, $71 million. He's excited to be here. He's a good follow on social media. And he talks about being in a good headspace. I think you'll find it entertaining. That's next.
Take that.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
In the great city of Chicago, you're locked on Cap Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, 312-332-3776. Marcus Stroman was on the Marquee Sports Network yesterday with our friend Bruce Levine. And
welcome to Chicago, Marcus.
And he talked about being in a good mental health space. I think you'll enjoy this.
It's more important as a human being, first and foremost. I think mental health is the most important, one of the most important aspects that people don't focus on. It's something that I put a huge emphasis on in the last probably 3 to 4 years. And I've seen it just allow me to have huge strides. I've never been more calm in my life. I'm able to find my calm through any adversity, through any turbulence. Like you said, I wake up and meditate often. I read a lot. I keep a very small circle of people. I try to find my time in nature always, whether it be grounding, going for barefoot walks on the beach, in the grass, being by the water. I do a lot of things to calm my mind because this world is it's just a lot. This world's a lot. It's a toxic place at times, and it can drive you to the place where you kind of want to go crazy at times. And I've learned. I've learned how to take a step back. I've learned how to really focus on my mental. Like I said, I have a therapist that I talk to, and I also have a mental coach who I speak to at least once a week. And I also speak to him on every game day that I pitch. And it's just been huge strides that I've taken. And it wasn't easy. You know what I mean? It's not easy for someone to open up and be this open with their mental and to have a therapist and to have a mental coach. It's hard. You know what I mean? It's something that I was too prideful at first to even think about doing. And I've had people in my life. I've had a lot of friends, family that encourage it. And I'm so thankful that I opened up to it, because if I didn't, I don't think I'd still be in the position I am today. Because like I said, it's a lot. It's a lot that any human being deals with. And then you add it being an athlete. It's just a lot. So I'm thankful for where I've gotten to, my headspace. And I look to keep continuing to push this mental aspect going forward.
You know, it's interesting what he said there, because you can roll the clock back about, 10, 15 years ago, when there would be an athlete that's 18, 19, 20 years old. And Cap, you dealt with them a lot. They were on their way to the NBA level, and they didn't see that money before. They didn't realize how much work would go into it or the acclaim that they would get, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go from someone from humble beginnings to all of a sudden in this big spotlight, and there could be a disconnect for some people, right? Because it's so sudden. You're talked about in the school newspaper, a couple of reporters here and there, everyone pulling at you, but all of a sudden here you are on the big stage before you're even, 20, 21 years old, and some people couldn't handle that. You couldn't say, man, I'm going through some mental hurdles right now, because then you're marked as a weakling.
Right, you're soft.
Yet you're soft and you can't handle it, so we're going to get you out of here because you can't handle it. Well, at least Marcus Stroman and athletes of his ilk are talking about the issues and mental hurdles that they'll go through every day to make sure that they're right. It's not just, hey, I got a baseball, I got to make sure I'm ready every 5 days. There's a lot to go into it, more so than the physical, the mental as well. Because if your mental's not right, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be on top of your game all the time. Everyone's not blessed to be able to be on, LSD and throw a no-hitter.
Doc Ellis.
Right?
Right.
So your mental and your physical have to be on par for you to be able to be excellent every time that you take the mound.
And we're all, the whole world's an evolving place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool that he's willing to talk about that. A lot of guys, even though they take, he said, it took me a long time to admit to myself I needed to do this. To go public with it's an even bigger statement. So it's cool.
Just think about the people that we've dealt with, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you get through your issues? Alcohol, drugs, pills, physical abuse by my parents or grandparents, verbal abuse or physical abuse. That got me through. But you never got a chance to talk to anybody. Because if you talk to somebody, you're labeled as soft.
Correct.
But at least these athletes of today say, you know what? I'm going to talk to somebody to make sure that I'm right. Right?
Correct.
Mentally. That matters.
Right. That I'm in a good space. Correct. But you have to also be willing to commit to a routine. Like I meditate. I wish I could do it more. It's just you get so busy, you just get going like, ugh. Like I would love to be able to just lock in every day at that time. Do not bother me because I'm meditating.
Yeah.
I try to do it before bed, when I get into bed. But, yeah, you got whatever the routine is, you got to commit to it. Like that dude in there with the long hair, Danny, he is the – I think I'm regimented. That's the most regimented person you'll ever find.
Absolutely. Nothing wrong with that either. And by the way, you can find your time to meditate. If you really want to be able to lock in and be dedicated to it, you can.
Mm-hmm.
7 to 10 every day.
Excuse me?
Go ahead, Cap.
You're better than that.
What did I say wrong? What did I say wrong?
Because I'm in the middle of doing a show with you. I listen to every word you say. I don't have time to meditate between seven.
Okay, that's a lie.
312-332-3776. Dan in Burbank. Hey, Dan.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What?
Hoodie, I just wanted to say I totally agree with you about the lockout. This is garbage. They had almost a month to talk. 7 minutes today, or last night, 7 minutes. It's ridiculous. And now they're going to try and rob us, you know, of our off-season time. And it just sucks. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. And Hoodie, let me tell you, you stabbed me in the heart this morning.
What's that?
I was driving home from work. 94 was the worst. I had just turned 9 years old. So I just got out of Pee Wee's. Like, I'm full blown. I'm into baseball. I love baseball.
Yeah.
So first year in big boys, right?
Uh-huh.
I turn 9, and they go on strike.
Oh.
And the White Sox have this monster, and I'm, you know, I'm all into it. I'm collecting cards with my dad, so I know who's on the Spos, and I'm like, look at these monsters. They're going to go to the World Series. No. I cried, Hoodie. I cried.
I get it. The Sox are supposed to be there, and so are the Expos. That's how I look at it.
I mean, the amount of Hall of Famers that would have been in that game,
oh,
in that, wow, World Series. Holy crap.
Absolutely. All right, my friend.
Hey, man, have a great day.
You're
okay?
Right.
Thanks,
appreciate
guys.
You. Appreciate you. Are the Cubs really open for business? We'd love to hear your thoughts. Marcus Stroman got 3 for $71 million. What does that mean for the 2022 Cubs? Are the Cubs open for business? We want your thoughts. 312-332-3776. Be right back.